I invite you now to take hold of your copy of God's Word, please, and turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and two verses for our reading today, verses 15 through 16. We're just going through Ephesians 1 and 2 verse by verse, and I believe it's going to mean a lot more to you if you keep your Bible open on your lap or to your side, as you're going to get 50, 60, 70% more out of this message as you see it unfolding before your very eyes from God's holy inspired word. And we're speaking today about this subject, praying for other Christians. That's what these two verses introduce us to, is the prayer that we ought to be offering on a daily, moment by moment basis for other Christians. And so I want us to read the text together. And you read silently and I read aloud. It says, therefore, or your Bible might say, wherefore, or maybe it says for this reason, or maybe it says this is why. Okay, so therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I see three clear and distinct points about praying for other Christians right here in these two verses. But I want to begin by making this statement, and that is that prayer is not only a privilege, it is a responsibility. I'll explain each one of those words. When I say prayer is a privilege, I mean this is something that has been given to you as a blessing. That's why we end our prayers in Jesus' name. We do not have access to God the Father in prayer if we don't go through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, then you have no access to the throne of God, because Jesus died on the cross to make a way for you to become a child of God and therefore have access, moment by moment access, to God through the privilege of prayer. It's a blessing, but it's also a responsibility. And it's alarming to me how few Christians see this as a responsibility that they should be engaged in a moment-by-moment and day-by-day basis. And so I hope that you'll have that balance in your life where you see prayer is not only a privilege, a benefit, a blessing, but also as a responsibility. As I've said so many times before, we can do more than pray after we pray, but we can't do more than pray until we pray. And so prayer is a priority for us as believers. And there are three points that God gave me as I was meditating on these verses earlier this week. I first of all see the reason for prayer. And it's found in that first word there in verse 15. And as I indicated before when I read through this, there's various translations of this word, but they're all the same. Mine says, therefore. Yours might say, wherefore. You might be reading from a translation that says, for this reason, or you might be reading from another that says, this is why. In other words, this is giving the reason that we pray. And using the word that's in my translation, therefore, there is a principle in interpreting the Bible, and that is anytime you see the word therefore, you need to see what it is there for. And that is because we need to be looking at the context of these scriptures that have been given to us preceding this therefore, or for this reason. And so go back up to verse 14. Last time we preached from this subject, we talked about our inheritance that has been given to us as Christians. And some people go all the way back to verse 1 and all the blessings that are listed in this first 14 verses is being included in the therefore, for this reason. But for immediate purposes, let's look at verse 14. and see the inheritance that God has given to us. Did you know the Bible says about you and me as Christians in Romans 8 that we are joint heirs? We are beneficiaries of the riches of God, and we share in those riches equally. But many times when we start talking about treasure that is shared amongst other people, there can be jealousy, especially in the reading of a will. Since we're talking about the word inheritance in verse 14, if you know anything about wills and when they're read after the death of a dearly departed one, there are people who are gathered there in that room who stand to benefit from what has been placed in that will. Instead of there being mutual rejoicing in many cases, there are hard feelings. Instead of supporting each other, many times there is conniving that goes on against each other. And sad to say that many times that characterizes the relationship between many Christians. We have a hard time trusting each other many times. You know, there's a saying that is certainly true. It's a poem, actually. To worship with the saints we know, that certainly will be glory. To worship above with the saints we know, that certainly will be glory. But to work below with these ones we know, now that's a different story. And many times we have difficulties in our relationships with each other, and that causes us to not pray for each other. One of the first books I was encouraged to read when I was in elementary school was the classic by Robert Louis Stevenson, Treasure Island. Treasure Island has 34 chapters in it, and if you analyze each one of those 34 chapters, you will see the theme of trust, distrust, secrecy, and deception running throughout the book in 29 of those 34 chapters. That's the way it is for many Christians who are joint possessors of this inheritance that is ours in Christ Jesus. And we need to eliminate that kind of distrust and have love for each other so that we can pray for each other as joint heirs of Jesus Christ. There's another book that was written long ago. A film was made out of it in 1948, a Humphrey Bogart film, called Treasure of the Sierra Madre. And it's simply a story about three raggedy prospectors that stumble upon this treasure, this gold, as they are mining. And you think that they would just rejoice and jointly celebrate the fact that they're all three unbelievably rich now. But instead, they start distrusting each other and having secrets from each other. And that happens so many times in the Church of the Living God. There is no place for secrecy in our ministry. Everything should be done in the light as He is the light of the world. There should be no deception. There should be no distrust. But we should trust each other's as being joint heirs of this inheritance that God has blessed us with. But notice not only the reason for prayer, but notice here the recipients of prayer. They're mentioned here for us in the rest of verse 15. It says, therefore, or for this reason, there's your reason for prayer. I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints. There are two things we know about these believers in the church at Ephesus, which this letter was written to. Their lives and ministries were characterized by faith and by love. And those are two essential elements for any believer. Certainly, you can't have saving faith without trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what these Ephesians did. And when we talk about faith, we're talking about belief. And John, in the book of 1 John, had a lot to say about that, especially in chapter 5 and verse 1. I'll quote it to you. He said, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Stop right there. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you believe he is the Son of God, then you are born of God. Just like John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And it is my prayer today that if you have never trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that today would be your day of salvation, that you'd walk out of this building today a new creation, a brand new believer. You can do it right here today. It's just as simple as trust, as belief. But I'm going to read you the rest of 1 John 5:1. I'll read the first part again. It says, "Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him," that's Jesus, "who begot," who birthed us into the kingdom, it says, "also loves him who is begotten of him." Whoa, that's where it gets difficult. It's easy for all of us today to say, "Boy, I love Jesus. He's done everything for me." But Jesus says, if you love me and I have begotten you into my kingdom, then you're going to love your brothers and sisters whom I've also begotten into the kingdom. And many times that is a challenge for lots of Christians. You know, there's some Christians that will say, "Well, you know, Jesus, I love you, but I have a hard time loving some of the people that are in the church." It'd just be like you walking up to a couple and you saying to the husband, "Man, I really love you. I just love and respect you, but I don't like your wife." How would that make you feel? Well, that's what you're saying whenever you say, "I love Jesus, but I've got some problems with his bride. I've got some problems with the ones that he has begotten into the kingdom, just like he's begotten me into the kingdom." That's a real problem. That leads us right into the next subject. You know, Paul said, "I heard two things about you, Ephesian believers. I heard, first of all, about your faith, and then I heard about your love." You see, without love, there's no true, genuine faith. And so love is very important to the subject at hand when we talk about praying for each other. You know, this is a very interesting church that Paul ministered in, the church at Ephesus. It had some really important members, some monumental members in that church. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a member of this church. Can you imagine us sitting here in worship this morning and all of a sudden the double doors open up and here comes Mary, the mother of Jesus? And she comes and she finds a place to sit and she sits right here. But that's not all. John the disciple, John the evangelist, was also a member of this church at Ephesus. Can you imagine Mary sitting there and all of a sudden this double door opening up and here comes John? John, whom Jesus spoke to on the cross and said, "I want you to take care of my mother. She is your mother now. And mothers, he is your son now," and him finding Mary and them sitting together. But that's not all. When it was time to preach, the man that stood behind the pulpit was no less than Paul himself. Not Paul, Timothy. Timothy, the one that Paul mentored. And when Paul had come through Ephesus earlier with Timothy, he left Timothy there to be the pastor of this church at Ephesus. Yet 10 years after this letter, which is open on your lap, was written, there was another letter written to the church at Ephesus by Jesus Christ. He used the hand of John when he wrote this in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4. He said to this church at Ephesus, who is known for their love, 10 years later, "You've left your first love. I have this against you. You've left your first love." What did that mean? It meant they left the priority of their love for Jesus, but not only that, their love for each other had grown cold. It doesn't take long to slip from our original call and from our original characteristics and responsibilities. It happened in the finest church probably in that day. Mary, John, Timothy, all members of that church. When I think about Timothy as a pastor of this church, and I read in verse 16, it reminds me of how Paul began his second letter to Timothy. I'm turning now to 2 Timothy and chapter 1. And there you will see similarity to what Paul says in Ephesians 1, verse 16. He says in verse 16 of Ephesians 1, "Do not cease to give thanks." This is Paul talking about himself. "I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." My prayer is unceasing. Number 3 in your notes, it is repetitious. You see, we've seen the reason for the prayer. We've seen the recipients of the prayer. And now we see the repetition of the prayer. It is without ceasing. And now over in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says, "Without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I might be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you." It's almost word for word right there in Ephesians 1, verse 16. This is what Paul said to the pastor of the church at Ephesus. And this is the way that we ought to pray for each other. Unceasingly. How do you do that, preacher? I've tried it before. I can't concentrate that long. You make everything you see in a day, everything you encounter in a day, an object of prayer. When you're going to leave this building in a few minutes, you'll see several faces. You'll shake several hands. You ought to breathe a prayer for every person that you come in contact with. You don't have to stop right there and close your eyes and audibilize a prayer, but you could just say, "God bless Beth. Dear God, bless Chris." And then, as we heard sirens early on this morning, I'm sure all of downtown Noonan was alarmed. We had the fire department come to our C building because we had an air conditioner over there that was smoking, and we had to dismiss the early service. Everybody was out on the streets, and the alarms came, the police came. Whenever you hear an alarm, you ought to be like my mother. She would say to us kids when we were growing up in her home, "Let's pray because somebody's hurting." You can make everything happen, everything that happens in your life, an object of prayer. That's the way you pray without ceasing. And I'm glad that I had the opportunity to run across some people like that last Sunday. I want to thank you again for allowing me to be away to preach at 2 African American churches in Atlanta this last Sunday, Spread the Word Ministries and Shield of Faith. They're pastored by the same man, Dr. John Sidney Battle III, former Atlanta Hawk. He's going to be preaching for us here on October 13th. He and his wife, Regina Bell Battle, who's Grammy Award winner singer, sang A Whole New World in the original Aladdin. They're going to be here blessing us with music, and he'll be preaching. But he had invited me to do a pulpit swap, so I was there last Sunday in his 2 churches. And I've never been with people who could be described in the same way Paul described these Ephesians in verse 15, with love and faith. And they've been constantly on my heart. I've been praying for them without ceasing ever since last Sunday. Let me tell you what happened last Sunday. We had 2 services. One started at 9:30. In southwest Atlanta. Beautiful service, wonderful time during the altar call. It lasted for several minutes. People just kept coming and coming and coming. And I was watching the clock because I knew the second service started in College Park at 11, and they had a big clock up on the wall, and it was 11:15. I knew it was a little bit of a drive there, but no problem. We stayed there to the end of the service, got to Shield of Faith in College Park. The music service was already going. They were almost ready for me to preach, and so I just went from one preaching service to another one and got up and preached in New Shield of Faith, and God did the same thing there, maybe even greater. When the altar call came, there were people who just flooded the aisles. And what was so wonderful about these people in both of these churches is they didn't come by themselves, but people came with them and surrounded them and supported them in prayer. And it's just been something that I've thought of and meditated on. I can't get it out of my mind ever since last Sunday. And how wonderful and how much these people are like the people we read about today. Oh, dear friend, God is speaking to hearts. We had a fire alarm a while ago, and I told everybody in the historic sanctuary, leave, go out the doors. Do not go this way, go out the doors. But I want you to know today there's another kind of fire here today. There's the fire of the Holy Spirit, and He is here with us. And He will meet you here at this altar today if you will come to Him. You've got a choice. You can go, you can leave unchanged, unmoved, or you can come and let Him make a difference in your life today. When we got through with that second service, it was 2:00. And no one left, because God was there. Do you have a need today? This is the house of prayer. You can come forward. You can kneel here at this altar. You can pray. People can come alongside of you and pray. Do you need Jesus as your Savior? All you have to do is come down here. I'll be standing at the front. And you can confess Him as Lord. Maybe you need to be baptized, like Audrey Hill and Kristen were this morning. Maybe you need to join the life of this church. I don't know, but I do know this. You do, and so does God. So let's don't play games with Him. If God is moving on your heart about a decision to join the life of this church, then be obedient to Him today, because I can guarantee you one thing. There are people praying. Do you know where the fire got started this morning? It got started in our prayer room in this building right over here. You can see the window right through these windows. An air conditioner started smoking. I'm so grateful that someone was here when it happened, or we would not have had the knowledge to call anybody. But there are people in that prayer room right now praying for you, praying for this service, praying that you will do what God wants you to do. There is a fire over there, and the fire's moving in here, and it's time for you to respond to Jesus as we pray together. Oh, dear God, we thank You for the fact that we are joint heirs in Jesus Christ, those of us who have trusted You as our Savior. And our prayer now is that there will be more who will come into Your kingdom, that they will believe You, and Father, that they will experience the love that only Christians can have for each other. Father, I pray that this prayer altar, as it's open here in just a moment, will be used today, and that You'll receive the victory from people who come in obedience to You. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.